First Peter chapter number 1. Have your Bibles, hope you'll turn and follow along with me. Last week we started and preached a message entitled, "The Lord's Going to Give Us Something New." We talked about it in Isaiah chapter 43. I want to continue that thought this morning as we think about the new life. Oh, any new life that we have must begin in Christ, because He's the one that giveth life. If you have your Bibles, let me read our text this morning, then we'll get started into the message today, and hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you as we think about this new life in you. Beginning verse number 13 of 1 Peter chapter number 1, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through me, the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Our Father, Lord, we thank You today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together this morning. Lord, I do pray now that You would bless me. I pray that You'd give me the wisdom, the liberty, the strength I need to bring the message today. Lord, I pray that You would guide and direct everything that we say. And Father, we'll be sure to give You the honor and the glory for all that You do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. I'm glad today that God saved us. He saved us for a reason and a purpose. I'm thankful that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm grateful that I put my faith and trust in the Lord. But while I'm living here, God's concerned about my life. He's concerned about the way that I live, my testimony, the outward appearance of things that I do in order that it might bring honor and glory to God. And whether we like to think about it or not, literally what it boils down to is if we're saved by the grace of God, God expects there to be a form of holiness in us as there is also in God. None of us will ever be able to be as holy as He is, but truly we need to understand that we need to be striving for holiness in our life to do what He would have us to do. Now, there's no more exciting truth, I believe, found in the Bible than the fact that when we got saved, we received, or we are subject to, a new life in Christ. The Bible said, "If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And I'm glad that over 50-something years ago, I go back and think about it, it had to have been 57 years ago, I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved me, and He set me up for a new life. That's why you see everything we do as a child of God, the new life is because of Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse number 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And truly today, He said that we need to call upon Him and accept Him, but He is the life. The purpose of that is in order that He came into this world, in order that He might raise those who were dead in their trespasses and sin. I'm not going to go through the whole story this morning, but you know the story. Adam and Eve, because they sinned in the garden, the Bible said sin passed upon all men. And literally, if you've never been saved, you're dead. Now, you may be walking, you may be breathing, you may be talking, but ultimately today, you're dead. Spiritually, you're dead, and you're not able to have the things that Christ has for you. Just as human life starts with the seed necessary for physical birth and growth, So the divine seed has to be planted in us to set us forth for spiritual growth. I love to watch the babies. We saw a little baby this morning at breakfast, and it's so encouraging to see them as they begin to grow and they begin to learn to walk and they begin to learn to talk and all the things they might say. But what's more exciting is to see somebody get born again. So saved by the grace of God, and God begin to work in their life. So 1 Peter 1:23 would become our main text this morning, where it said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This seed is described as being living and abiding, and it is the word of God. So I want you to examine with me this morning some thoughts that I hope will be a help to you today. The seed of the new life is the distractive word of God. The distractive word of God. The word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The message of new life is not that of human speculation. It's not of that of substances of even divine revelation, but the substance of divine revelation. It is the word of God. When we think of new life, we are confronted with four aspects of the word of God. We find today that the word of God is a word of inerrancy. We notice in 1 Peter 1 verse 23, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Since the Bible reflects the nature and the character of an infallible God, we must accept this Bible as being without mistake or without problems all through. It's inerrancy. It gives unity. It provides prophecy. It gives us history, and all of those prove the inerrancy of the Word of God. Then I think of not only of that, the word of inerrancy, but it's the word of authority. It said the Word of God. I tell you today, I don't come speaking by my word or by my authority. I come speaking today by the authority of the Word of God, which liveth, by the way, and abideth forever. That means long after you and I are gone, the Word of God will still stand. St. Augustine said, when the Scripture speaks, God speaks. And by the way, that's the only way we can view the Bible. When you read the Bible, it's not what man thinks. Excuse me. It's not what we come to and try to determine in our mind. But this book is the full and final authority in everything we see and do and understand. And so we need to understand the Word of God is authoritative. Understand today, listen, you may reject me, but if you reject Christ, you're rejecting the most important thing in all the world. Then it's the Word of eternity. He said, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I like what it said in 1 Peter 24 and 25. It said, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But here's what he said, but the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word by the gospel is preached unto you. Jesus declared, heaven and earth shall pass away. In Mark chapter 13, verse 31, but he said, my words shall not pass away. Men have tried to destroy it. People have tried to burn it. People have tried to get rid of it any possible way they can. But friend, you'll never destroy the Word of God. It's here and it's here forever. The words of men may fail, and by the way, they will. But we can depend on what God says. Paul insists, faced with the choice between man's word and God's word, he said, let God be true and every man a liar. So we see the word of eternity. I'm glad today this book, somebody said, well, you know this book, thank you, I need to take me a swallow here. Got a little frog in my throat this morning. I'm thankful today that the Word of God always has been and always will be. There's nothing new in the Word of God. We've had it for years, and this book has been good for my fathers and my forefathers. And this book's good enough for me as we stand upon the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God is not only a word of eternity, but it's a word of vitality. The Bible said, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I'm so glad today it lives and abides. I tell you, when I read this book, you can read man's book, and it may inform you. It may enlighten you. It may even educate you. But I tell you, the living Word of God will change you. And it will help you to be what you need to be in understanding the vitality of it all. It's an instrument that God uses through the Holy Spirit that indwells us that speaks to our hearts, convicts us of our sin, it informs us, and of supernatural things that the Word of God sets forth. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." So the seed of a new life is the distinctive Word of God. We need to understand today the distinctive Word of God and the importance of it in realizing what God says and what He does and what He will do if we'll put our faith and trust in Him. It's a unique and supernatural about this book, and it's called the Holy Bible. This book can change your life. I tell you today, I'm not against programs. I'm not against Alcoholics Anonymous. If that helps you and that helps somebody, that's fine. I'm not against getting help for drug addiction. I believe people need that. But friend, today, our hope, our only hope, rests in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word of God and the seed of the Word of God that's planted in us to change us and give us a new life. I hear people often say about individuals, they say, "Oh, that person will never change." Friend, you're right. They'll never change on their own. And they'll never change because man tries to get them to change, but they can change if the Word of God indwells them and speaks to them and shows them the truth. The seed of the new life is the dynamic Word of God. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. This Bible has dynamic power. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm glad today it was the Word of God that changed my life. Unfortunately, as a young man, I was saved early, got a little older, and began to rebel and go against the very things I'd learned, went in opposite direction, and truly I was running from God. But I tell you, you know what brought me back? Although I had a praying mother and a praying father, and I believe that's what brought me back. But friend, what brought me back is one night sitting in a church, listening to the preaching of the Word of God, the authoritative, inerrant, infallible Word of God, that God spoke to my heart and He changed my life. He changed my life to the point that I went home and I turned away from the things that I was doing and began to do things that Christ would have me to do. And no, I've not always been perfect. But I'm grateful today that God has blessed me and helped me through these years. The Word of God, first of all, has revealing power in Jesus Christ. This is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you in verse 25. He said, "But the Word of God endureth forever, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Do you know today, outside of the Bible, you have no gospel? There's no way to get saved apart from the Bible. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher. I went one time and talked to a man, and I witnessed to him, and I told him everything he needed to know, and he got saved." Well, he didn't get saved unless you shared with him the Bible. Now, you may have had it in your heart, and I've got a lot of verses memorized, and I believe I could lead somebody to Christ without having an open Bible in my hand if they want to say that they believe the Bible is the Word of God. But, friend, you'll never get anybody saved apart from the Word of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes life. No other book in the world contains the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why this book is so indispensable. I remember reading this, a man by the name of Stephen Olford. He said, "I'll never forget watching the face of a blind Paramount chief in Angola, Africa, as my missionary father read to him some verses from John's book. Father had just completed the translation of this portion of Scripture into the Achoe dialect and was trying it out on the man who was totally ignorant of the gospel. And as he came to these words, 'In him,' talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, 'was life, and the life was the light of man,' the chief interjected with a plea, 'Say that again, say that again. I'm in darkness. I need light.' And his face was aglow, and his sightless eyes were filled with tears as the simple message of light and life in Christ penetrated the darkness." And friend, today, it's still the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And we need to understand the truth today that God has given to us, that we might realize today what God can do and He will do if we'll trust Him. It's a revealing. It'll reveal the truth. You get somebody under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God, You're not going to get saved watching television, and you could be watching a preacher now, I guess, and get saved. But you can't get saved watching all the programs they have or reading all the magazine articles people write. But you can get saved when you read the Bible because it has the power to change lives. It has redeeming power in Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." As we read the Word of God, we discover that men and women have become slaves to sin. You and I know this to be true. It's a central fact that's in the gospel. And literally it cost the Lord Jesus Christ every drop of His blood in order that we might have eternal life. He made possible our salvation from sin, from self, and from Satan as recorded in the Scriptures. So I'm telling you today, there's redeeming power in the Word of God. I'd venture to say today, if we had time, we could have people stand up and there'd be one story after another telling how the gospel of Jesus Christ changed their life. It's revealing, it's redeeming. But then thirdly, the Word of God has a renewing power. It said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. As the gospel is read and preached, the Spirit of God uses this truth to bring about a miracle in our life that's called the new birth. The natural seed falls into the ground, it germinates, it brings forth life, and the seed of the Word falls on the human heart, and the spiritual life begins. Nourished by His Word, a new life begins. We begin to grow and mature. And that's what He said in the first part of chapter 2. He talks about in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. Friend, when you really get born again, you'll have a desire to hear the Word of God. When you get born again, preaching won't be boring. You'll be able to sit through and listen at the Word of God as it's preached with all due respect and understanding of what God is trying to say. So many times people are not interested in hearing the gospel. They're not interested in hearing the Word of God. There's all other voices calling and they're giving in to them. But the Bible said, as a newborn Christian, if you really want that new life in Christ, you'll have a hunger and a thirst after the righteousness of God. And nothing will hinder that. By applying the thrust of this truth, I wonder today, have you ever been born again? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Friend, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to prove it by your life. I'm convinced today that the majority of people that say they're saved are just as lost as they've ever been. It's many times the evidence in the things they do and the lack of desire to know more about God. But I'm going to tell you, if you have the seed of God planted in your heart, it will help you in order that you might begin to grow and understand the truth that is set before you, that God may speak to you and help you mature as a Christian to be what you need to be. Then there's the seed of the new life is the directive Word of God. I like this verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. I don't believe anybody can listen to the Word of God, ultimately listen to the Word of God and remain neutral. Either you're going to make one choice, it's going to be yes, or you're going to make a choice no. But the Bible demands obedience. In fact, when you hear the Word of God, you become more subject to greater accountability than you've ever been. When you understand failure to obey is disobedience, and disobedience is sin. So we must be quick to obey what the Bible teaches. The Bible directs us in all areas of obedience to obey the Word of God. Boy, today, seems folks have got so far away from God. I'm telling you, folks, somebody said, well, preacher, you know, we don't see revivals like we used to see, and we don't see things happening in churches like we used to. It's because people more and more are living unholier lives than they ever have. They're not concerned about God. They're not concerned about the things of God. The church in most places has become just a meeting place. It's become a social event. It's become a place where we can feel good about ourselves and feel like we've done our part. Friend, today what be going to church is coming, hearing the Word of God, and allowing the Word of